Good morning. We are continuing our study of the healing seminars from Herb Fitch, 1989, when he mailed the tapes out from his home in Kauai, which I was fortunate enough to visit, and his Chicago 1999 healing seminar. We're on tape number 5, Life Before Birth. I would suggest that you have a meditation before listening to the rest of this, or before reading the chapter, and see if you can feel your life, which existed before birth, before there was a mortal you. You existed. Try to feel that life. And then return here and we'll begin. He says, who is Melchizedek? Why does Abraham give him a tithe? Listen carefully, because you find that Melchizedek is a symbol. He's a symbol of peace, a symbol of righteousness, but he is a perfect individual, and the reason he is a perfect individual is that he was born without a process. He is without descent. That has a meaning that we all have to find out about. He continued unchanged forever. We are that way. Melchizedek was the forerunner to Christ. He was the Christ figure, and all of the things said about him are cloaked in secrecy for a very simple reason. He ushers in an age, and the same thing goes for Christ. He ushers in an age, and we are the tail end of that age, and it is up to us now to fulfill our responsibility. It is up to us to decide now between God and Mammon. And that's what you're going to have to do by the end of this chapter, decide for God or Mammon. It's time to wake up, he says. We have been asleep too long. Being awake means knowing who you are. Everything in your experience depends on who you are. You cannot continue in doubt, in two selves, switching from one to the other. Until you have established one identity, you have no right to represent yourself as a healer. And if you do know, and you practice it, you represent the kingdom, and you will bless those who come to you for help. And you will meet situations with spontaneity, confidence, and righteousness. But you must know that the number one truth about you, the truth that opens you to new possibilities, the truth you must express from dawn to sunset, from sunset to dawn, is that you are immortal. You are immortal now, not tomorrow, not 20 years from now, not in the next lifetime, but this very moment. You are immortal now because God says you are. There is no truth greater that you will ever hear. There is no truth greater that you will ever see. There is no truth greater that you will ever be. Deny it, doubt it, answer to another name, and you are asleep. Treasure it, value it, every waking second. Respond to it every waking second, and your complete existence will change dramatically. Now, we have to make a beginning at this. We have to have meditations where we feel the self we were before birth. He says there's a big mortal mind right outside. It says that you are not. It says that you are human. And you can follow that mortal mind until it spreads an illusion of wonderful things before you. It will run your life for you if you let it. It will create good forms or bad forms, good health or bad health. It will fill you with good things of life and then rob you of them when least expected. It will actually rob you of your life. It will rob you of everything wonderful that you create, and it will fill you full of false ego that admires its own creation. It will make you watch while it tears down everything that it has built for you. Finally, it will take you to your grave. That is mortality, and its destination is death. My brightest dreams go up in smoke. As a mortal, my life is temporary, uncertain, at the mercy of wind and tide. I change in spite of myself. The world mind governs my destiny, and then it returns me to ashes. This is not God's way. You must make a choice, or waste another 1,000 years reliving a lie, traveling over old traveled roads that you've walked upon many times, making the same mistakes over and over. Now the secret can be told. You are immortal. Get back in consciousness to the same consciousness that we had in the beginning before the illusion of birth occurred. Now he quotes Jesus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say ye must be born again. Now here's an important little half sentence. Rebirth is realization. It's not traveling back in time. Rebirth is a realization that you were never born. I am immortal spirit. I am unchangeable. I am eternal self. I have not evolved this way. I simply realize that is what I am. So realization's going to be necessary here. But realization is not just reading this book and agreeing with it with your mind, with your intellect. Realization is not, it does not take place in the mind. You know, Joel says that meditation is not a mental activity. Therefore, realization, which takes place in meditation, is not a mental activity. Realization does not take place in the mind, in your mind. You've got to step outside of that mind. You've got to pause from all of its creations that it's showing you, bad or good. And you've got to find that inner self that existed before the world was. And when you feel it, and you feel its movement, or you hear it, you have had realization. But it's not enough to just have one and then go about your business. He just told us it has to be from dawn to dusk and dusk to dawn. That's 24 hours a day. We don't start there, but we have to start. And we started our meditations. After a while, you can get still and you'll feel that self which existed before birth of this person out here. This person which appears to be out here. Then you'll be able to catch glimpses of it or feel it as you're moving about. And finally, as Joel says, you'll almost be able to feel it at will. What is called birth was not my beginning. Birth was the beginning of a dream. We are told that Adam fell into a deep sleep. We are not told that he awakened. We are told he fell into a deep sleep, and then Lord God, which is world mind, created this false creation of Genesis 2. We are not told that Adam awakened until we get all the way down to Christ Jesus, in which he says that we must awaken. He is the Adam that awakened. It took a lot of lifetimes. But you can start now, right now, if you can get to that place inside of yourself where you enter the silence and you surrender. Then this immortal self will reveal itself to you. He says, wipe away the mortal mind pictures after birth. Wipe away mortality after birth. Wipe away the temporary self after birth. The illusion begins at birth. Birth is the place where the dream begins. So, the minute you're born, this person is born, you have started dreaming. And you have entered the dream. Now, if you do what he says here and wipe away the mortal mind pictures after birth, well, you can go all the way back. That means your entire life as a person, your entire so-called personal life, has been a dream. I don't know if you're ready for that, or if you can handle that, but that's what it means. However, if you have begun meditating and you have begun feeling this inner something, then you have begun to feel yourself before birth. And that's an impersonal self. There's no person involved. So if you're courageous and you're willing to make a start, you must see that you've been living in a dream, and to awaken is going to require meditation and then realization of the self that you are and were before birth. God created you immortal, and you have never changed. Know the truth that birth is the beginning of the illusion, and immortality is the never-changing reality of myself. I am immortal. I have always been immortal. That is the purpose of truth, so that you can stand in the secret place knowing that you are immortal, and therefore the mortal things that disturb me are not real. There are no mortals out there. Remember, he said there are no mortals on earth? Well, that includes you. The true translation of the words of Jesus are, yourself always lives in the kingdom of God. You are immortal. You are before Abraham. The illusion of birth creates the sense of a mortal life, but the eternal self, which always exists in you, and existed before the illusion of birth. Birth is merely the place where man begins the dream. That is where he changes to senses, to a dying self. Ah, but then, the minute you pause for a second of silence, your real self, your immortal self, springs to life. And I am comes forward, and the dream is put on hold. Every time you meditate, you bring forth your never-born self, and your born self goes to rest. Before the world was, is the instant you pause and maintain the silence. Don't worry about time, it isn't there. The instant you maintain silence inside and dwell in the secret place with the Father, in that instant the world of time vanishes and you are back before birth. Now, he says, do you feel it? Do you feel the pulse, the rhythm, the harmony, the spirit? Do you see where the mortal self is still? All that troubles you vanishes. So when the mortal self is still in your meditation, you can feel that immortal self. And all that troubles you vanishes. Do you see the distinction? The visible world is the birth world. The invisible is a no-birth world, the immortal world. But the invisible stays with you. It has been with you for millions and millions of years. It is always with you. I can never leave you. Wherever you go, I go. I am the Spirit of God in you, your immortal spirit. When you claim me as the truth instead of the world, which is a lie, then you come under a new jurisdiction. This has all been leading all these years to you discovering who you really are. You read the words not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, and that spirit is your immortal self. So it's not by a body, it's not by your mind, it's by your own immortal spirit. The rebirth of man from mortality to immortality was the secret that Jesus brought with him. He came into the earth to demonstrate it, to lead the way. His immaculate conception, called a virgin birth, was the prototype for man, who was to be reborn from matter to spirit, and it is accomplished by a return to a spiritual consciousness that is invisible before the dream of a life when physical time began. That is why time shall be no more, because time is part of that dream. And even Einstein knew it was a dream. He said the persistent illusion. So the purpose of Jesus Christ is very clear. He was to lead us out of our illusion, our illusory life. The purpose of the mortal mind is also very clear. It is to lead us into the illusion. Now, we know that this world is made up of two powers, good and evil. And we know that this illusion can take either form. You can be born, grow up, become ill with some disease or another, and that's very evil. It's an evil experience, existence. Bad, if you prefer. Or you can be grow up and discover. You could be the discoverer of Apple computers, which they took an operating system from Berkeley Software called BSD, and they put it in their own machine and called it an Apple. And it took off. Everybody almost has an Apple phone, or an Apple iPad, or an Apple computer, or a Macintosh. And so he became what we call filthy rich. Now, that would be a good experience, wouldn't it? You can have what you want anywhere in the world. Bill Gates he has a house that's 10 times bigger than the one I'm living in. So his experience is also very good, but I think now he's trying to take over the world. But that's just politics. So those can be good experiences, and you can be enticed with the good. And it draws you in, and you're hypnotized. Or you can be enticed with the bad, and it draws you in, I hurt so bad. Both of them are hypnotism. Both of them are a part of this illusory life he's referring to. Oh, he says, I know it's a big task, and it requires complete fidelity to the will of the Father, to Christ in you. Because you see, that immortal self is Christ in you. And we are told that's your hope of glory, Christ in you. Now, he says, I know it's a task, and it requires complete fidelity to the will of the Father, to Christ in you, but it's this Christ will, which we are forced to follow in order to get out of the illusion. We are joining the infinite body of spirit. Now we're in Christ will. We're breaking away from mortality, from mind concepts. We're getting our input from God, and slowly we're transforming. That's what that book, Consciousness Transformed, is about. And maybe we'll look at that again, because I really love it. How can I be the son of God when I am deeply in debt? When I am unemployed? Go back before birth and realize everything after that was a total illusion. Everything. You cannot hang on to part of it. In the realization that you are spirit, you will find gold in a fish's mouth, or some equivalent. And your debts will be redeemed. Spiritual realization always brings release in one way or another. And that's how you know if it really is realization. If it's just intellectual agreement, you may sit for a while and have some peace of mind, but there won't be that release. The illusion will still be holding on. Realization gives you that release, and you're free, because you've contacted the self before birth. Your immortal self. So, he says, if you're tired of the energy you put out on negation, on denying that you have this and denying that you have that, if you're tired of problems, if you have had your share and are still having them, it's time to put all your eggs in one basket, and that basket is Christ. Who is Christ but the unborn self? Christ, who says to you, "Thou seest me, thou seest the Father." Christ, who says to you, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Every healing brought about by the Christ was brought about by his immortal self. Every healing you do will be permanent only if you do it with your immortal self. That's what it takes to do what is called a miracle, your immortal self. As we dwell in the immortal self now, here we get a chance to put aside our toys, our many yesterdays. We live in time no more. We do not live in space. We do not live in matter. We live in our immortal self, and it is infinite. You start out with an immortal self, and you think of it as something in your body. But you come above that, and then you come to your eternal, infinite immortal self. I stand in my eternal, infinite, immortal self, and it will do for me, for itself, all the things that Christ did during his lifetime. Jesus Christ graduated, and he left an important message for us. Follow me. We are joining Melchizedek, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Divine Righteousness, born without process, the author of salvation. And as we stand in the holy place, we can feel the depth of our own immortal self, and it will call to us. And it does call to us. All right, that's the halfway point. Let's pause for a minute and have a meditation. Right now, in this moment, I put aside all of the toys . Toys are the pictures of a human life that appear to be good. Toys are the pictures that appear to be bad about a human life. I want no human life. But the way to end it is not to go commit suicide, because then you'll take it with you. You haven't died the right way. The right way to die is to live in my immortal self. And so I must take time through the day and during the night to rest in that immortal self. I am fully aware of all these pictures. And now I let them drop. I am here. My immortal self is here. And so speak. Reveal yourself. I am still. I am listening. I am receptive. Immortal self, move yourself, reveal yourself. I existed before birth. And that I is here now. And to the best of my ability, I renounce a human and I rest back in my immortal self and listen and wait and watch. And behold, immortal self, reveal thyself here now. And so we discover that the real way to die is to take his suggestion and follow him. Him being the immortal self of our being, the Christ of our being. Now on side two of this talk, second half of this chapter, he says, I'm going to ask you now to list five qualities. And number one is my Christ self, my before birth self is present. Number two, all bodies are sense images. Number three, nothing I see today with my senses is real. Number four, improve no sense images. See, if you're trying to improve something, it's got you. Number five, sense images have no power. So there's nothing that you can see, hear, taste, touch, or smell that has power. Yes, I know it seems like it does. So we should probably make that a complete sentence and say, sense images have no power in the presence of my immortal self. That's the complete sentence. Sense images have no power in the presence of Christ. Now, Jesus Christ has appeared on earth to show us the I Am, the way. And he has said, follow me. Before we were born, he appeared on earth to show us that he was born of the Spirit, immaculately conceived. And he said, follow me, because you can do the same. You can be born of the Spirit. This inner being that you feel begins to, if you're creative, it begins to make art through you. It begins to make music through you. It begins to make a talk through you. If you are scientific, it begins to build bridges or make rockets or make better centrifuges. But in one way or another, it begins to make itself apparent. As you spend your time in the silence and allow it to come forth, that's what we were supposed to do in today's meditation at 11 o'clock. We were supposed to enter the silence, become still, stop everything you're thinking about. And if you're not at the point where you can do that, then take something to contemplate that reminds you that I am the way. And so we were supposed to enter the silence, stand stock still, and wait in order that the Christ could be released through us. He says, you remember at 2 years of age he lived in a spiritual body that was protected against death and destruction? Yeah, I believe it was Herod that said, kill every 2-year-old you can lay your hands on. And the army went out with swords and did exactly that. Can you imagine? Wow, talk about living with a dictator. So, he was protected. He wasn't touched. And that was spiritual. Just the way if something... Let's say that you're living in the Ukraine right now. And you're following this spiritual path. You will be protected. You will be moved from one place to another just before the bomb gets there. And that's how it works. I'm telling you. You'll be moved around by this inner something. You'll feel, I think I should go over there today. And you'll go over there and you'll find out what happened while you were gone. He says, you remember that at 12 years of age, he was about his father's business? He was living under the protection of spirit in his spiritual body before physical birth. You have a spiritual body in which you existed before physical birth, and in which you exist now. And that's what protected his 2-year-old body from the high priest, and that's why he was about his father's business, not his human father. He was calling this to our attention. Just as at the wedding of Cana, he addressed his mother as, woman, what have I to do with thee? He was living in a body that was before birth. Before Abraham was, I am. In short, I am immortal. He was always telling us that he was immortal. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father who sent me. For 3 solid years, he kept teaching that there is only one way to the kingdom, and that way is narrow. So narrow that few there be who walk that way. For 3 years he was doing marvelous things. and healing everybody. And the people in the world did not understand. He was living in the immortal body of spirit. And he knew. And Herb says, understand this, please. He knew that the people he was healing were also living in the immortal body of spirit. Do you see that? He wasn't healing their imperfections. He was revealing their perfection. He was revealing that they are immortal. Spirit is the firstborn of every creature. You'll find that, he says, in Colossians 1:15. Ye are God's little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And unfortunately, the book says John 4:4, but when I looked it up, it wasn't there. I found it in 1 John 4:4. So that's what it should be, is 1 John 4:4. I am in the Father, ye in me, and I in thee, John 14:20. All attest to the living Spirit of God in you, that you walk away from every day, led by the mortal mind, and believe that you were born. Yes, we even have a celebration called a birthday. Too bad we can't have a rebirthday, huh? You can't be one with God and be immortal. A mortal. Paul lived in the consciousness of midnight. That's the consciousness before humanhood, before the false dawn. Paul was never born, and in that midnight consciousness, he couldn't be held in a prison because he had no physical body. He was immortal. He was in the midnight consciousness, the consciousness before birth. And that's what we all have to enter, our own midnight consciousness, which is the midnight consciousness of Christ. Herb says, I accept immortality as my only consciousness. Everything born of the flesh in the flesh dies. That's a fact. We have a name for the world winding down. It's called entropy. It means everything, everything will wind down. I am spirit, not born of flesh. My life began before birth. That's the one you want to feel in your meditations. What I was before birth was spirit. And I have continued to be spirit, immortal spirit. Everything after birth in the womb dies. Birth in the womb can't be Christ. That is the basic Christ demonstration. Only Christ is one with God. I must be that immortal one. To be one, I must be Christ. I must be immortal. I cannot be human and divine. Now I am ready. I'm ready to learn the basic points. These points are necessary to your midnight consciousness. One. Because I am immortal, my immortal self is present. That's your first principle. I am not living a human life. Now your second basic principle is this. All bodies are sense images. Just as I must accept that I am not in a body, no one else is in a body either. Look about you. There is not one body. There is not another body, and a third, and a fourth, and 5 billion bodies. We are all immortal, and we live in one immortal body. There's only one immortal body, and I am that. I live in an immortal body. My neighbor lives in an immortal body. There's only one body. All bodies are sense images. This will seem difficult, but immediately we will notice a new sense of harmony. He agrees it's a task, it's difficult. Your third principle, nothing you see today is real. I sit quiet now, my eyes closed. I see all sorts of things. I let the images come directly toward me, feeling their weightlessness, feeling their incorporeality. I impersonalize them. I can take about a half hour a day and see that there is no personal life here. I'm learning how to live in no personal self. I'm beginning to dwell in the midnight consciousness. The fourth principle, improve no sense images. This is another severe test. So that's three times he said, it's a task, it's difficult, it's severe. You are given a variety of images, and many of them are needful of repair. And your first impulse is to offer your help, do good, and improve them. You must remain faithful to God. Didn't God make a perfect universe? Doesn't God have the power to maintain a perfect universe? Have you been fooled? Have you accepted the belief that something in God's universe is imperfect? Then the master hypnotist has fooled you too. You are trying to improve the imitation, and you are asleep. Spiritual healing is the very opposite. Always recognize the truth. The instant you are given the problem, nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong. Accept the problem and then forget it, and the person who brought it to you as well. Is that heartless? No. It is the truth, and the truth will make you free and your patient free. My Christ self, my never-born self, is always present, and it's the only self I have. Your fifth principle is sense images have no power. Well, think of Daniel in the lion's den. Think of the lepers. Think of an army trying to kill a two-year-old boy and failing. The human mind cannot figure out how it can be that the human hand can never touch the Spirit of God. This is why the wisdom of God is foolishness unto the mind of man, because how do you prove something like this? You go tell someone in the street, someone at a library, or someone in your class or on the job. All you have to do to have a successful month in sales this month is to live in your immortal self. It's invisible. It was here before you were born, and it's here now. And you can live in it, and you can invite it to take over. And it will. And they'll look at you, they'll probably smile and say, oh, is that right? and then they'll go off thinking you're a little off-center. All right, so the human mind cannot figure out how the human hand can never touch the Spirit of God. And that's the truth. Let's say that you're driving to Walmart. You've been there before. It's a sale on this week. And oh my God, you get there and there's nowhere to park. You've got to park almost a half a mile away. Well, let's say that you sit down before your journey, which Joel recommends. You enter the silence and you feel your immortal self. You're feeling the immortal self of everyone that exists, of everything that exists. You get in your car, you drive to Walmart, there's a space right up front to park, and you park there. How are you going to prove that? You can't. The human hand cannot touch the Spirit of God. So, he says, however difficult it is to begin, go through these five principles until you have mastered them. So this is work he's giving you. I call it a painless crucifixion. I would say painless. An attacker comes with a knife. Disease reaches inside your body. The rent is due. The children are going hungry. Your immortal self has the answer. But where is that immortal self? It is the same self that Jesus presented to the multitude. It draws from infinity. It is free of illusion. It has no personal self. It is one with Source. It is a consciousness that exists before the human. It is yourself before the world illusion. It moves above the world mind, universe, awake, not asleep. The visible images all take place after birth. The invisible truth exists eternally, before birth, and continues to exist. Christ exists before human birth. Christ is your consciousness of immortality. Now, consciousness of something means your awareness of it, your realization of it. Christ is your consciousness of immortality. Christ is one with the Father. We are God's little children and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Do not make the mistake of waiting for things to get better. They are better. Use the equipment you have. The life that was in the beginning, the Word, is still the Word and dwells within you. Free it. Now that I was asked today where that comes from. Comes from this chapter. Tape 5. We are children of God, and if children, then heirs, joint heirs with Christ, that we may be glorified together. Your hope of glory is Christ within, immortal self of every creature. The sooner you start seeing that you are yourself, the Christ, the immortal, the sooner Christ will sit upon the throne of your consciousness. Yes, and you will dwell in the midnight consciousness. So that's the end of side two. Then he says about our world work, which hopefully you did last night at 6 o'clock California time, 9 o'clock New York time. He says the immortality of your neighbor is going to be the immortality of the world. That is the consciousness that is growing. It is the consciousness that you require to make the voice audible within you. It is the consciousness of truth. So, on Saturday at 6 p.m. California time, our meditation will be the immortality of the world. I expect you to do that, to do it well. And finally, he finishes with, I can't think ill of anyone while I think he's immortal. And if I think ill of anyone, I'm disbelieving that he is immortal. I am in a divided consciousness, and I will not fare very well, because I have lost my God. Oh, he says, this cleans things up beautifully. We have to think well of everyone. We have to think well of even the rapist. He, too, is immortal. And pretty soon there is no rapist, you see. Dwell upon these things. Let your heart flow with your soul. Let your soul flow with your spirit. There is one universe, one immortal universe, and we all live in it, and those who know it are making the transition to that universe. Let us be still. Well, I hope that that has the impact on you that it had on me, because I could see plainly that I have got to live this immortal, or I have got to let this immortal live me. Doesn't matter how you phrase it, so long as you do it. And it begins first bringing it to your awareness that such a thing, you can be born again. And then it comes to remembering to practice it in your meditation, and you have a good place to do that on Saturday night and Sunday morning. And then finally, it comes to your attention, oh my goodness, I've been meditating on my immortal life, and then when I open my eyes for the next 16 hours, I'm living a personal life. What is wrong with that picture? So we recognize that we have to try to practice those five principles he gave us, and just take one a day over the next week. Well, anybody have any questions? It's a shame you're not sitting here so I could field your questions. We have to practice this. We have to make a beginning. Well, we don't have to. I mean, we can go on, like you said, to the bitter end. Age after age, lifetime after lifetime. One life will be bad, one life will be good. Maybe they'll be bad and good, or good and bad. And we can go century after century and not do this. Put it on hold. Yes, I can't do that right now. I'm having too much of a good time. I can't do that right now. I'm poor. I can't do that right now. I'm sickly. I can't do that right now. I've got commitments. I can't do that right now. I'm taking care of my family. What's wrong with that? I can't do that right now. I'm getting an education. I'll do it when I retire. And so we put it off. Let's not do that this time. Let's not do that. Let's make a beginning, even a small beginning, to live in our immortal self, our self before birth. And let that self before birth bubble up and come into fruition. Thank you. I really love you. I know who you are, the one immortal self. Thank you.